Hello and welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. I'm Jamie McMillan. With me, as always, are Rachel Malcolm and Chris Patterson. Our special guests on the show this week are Scotland captain Jamie Ritchie, as he looks ahead to the upcoming tests in the summer. And we're joined by Caledonian Midlands Regional Director Steve Turnbull to discuss the successful Community Awards that took place last week. Well, delighted now to be joined on the podcast by Scotland captain Jamie Ritchie. Jamie, thank you very much for coming on to the podcast. I know you guys have just kind of gone into camp, but I know you haven't really been able to do much at the moment just with the little niggle that you've got playing for Edinburgh. But how's the past couple of days been and how are you feeling?
Yeah, no, really good. Thank you for having me on. It's been great to get back into camp. See a lot of new faces, some slightly older ones, but I think the oldest in the squad's Matt Scott, but I've not seen him in a while, so that's been good. It's been brilliant, and a little bit of a lighter session yesterday just to bleed the boys in, and then it was a bit bigger today, but it was really good. I thought the session standard today looked really high. I'm speaking to a couple of boys afterwards, they seem to be pretty happy with how it was, so a good start.
You mentioned that there is a lot of new faces. You've obviously got quite a quick turnaround before you play your first game. How does that kind of influence training? Because obviously using the build-up to a game, it would be quite kind of tapered towards that. But obviously you've got a lot to get through. So is it quite an intense week ahead?
Yeah, I think so. I think we certainly front-loaded this week with a lot of information, especially for those who haven't been in before. I think it's a lot of new stuff, so the onus is really on them and us as experienced players to kind of help them with that and get them on the computers, get them learning, making sure that they know that they can come and ask us if they have any questions, and kind of being wary of the fact that it's not going to be perfect straight away. And I think allowing people to make mistakes in training and stuff like that is really important in terms of learning. So it's been a bit front-loaded. There's been a few meetings with a lot of information, but I think it's been really good, and the guys seem to have bought into the stuff we're talking about a lot.
Quite funny as well, because there's, as you say, Rachel, there's so many new faces almost to the squad, but a lot of recognisable faces to each other within the squad. You know, like someone like Cameron Henderson, the young player coming in for his first opportunity. You would have gone to school with, albeit a couple of years older than Cameron Henderson. And So it's, although there's going to be a lot of new faces, there is a good understanding of who's who in the squad, and that must help it. That must be much easier for the younger players when they do come in and see the, I'm not going to call you an older player, a more experienced player like yourself being captain, and you'll know how they'll feel. But I guess what I'm trying to say is it is quite a familiar surrounding, even although there's so many new faces.
Yeah, and I think it helps with the majority of the squad being made up of Edinburgh and Glasgow players. Mm-hmm. It's pretty new for me as well, kind of having, like, I've been in and around the leadership group and stuff, but being the captain and having that title is something that's quite new for me. So in terms of, like, taking on the ownership of, like, the huddles in the first session, and, like, what do you say to all these, there's 17 uncapped players in the group, and, like, what do you say to them? Like, used to being kind of more about making points about training or what we're trying to do, rather than it being about, like, right, we've got a massive opportunity for a lot of you guys here to be, to kind of put your good foot forward and show what you're about. And I think that's the most important thing for these guys, especially in this first week, is about them just trying to get on the front foot with it all.
And for you and your role as captain, do you find you then have to look at everything a bit more kind of holistically, rather than seeing what you need to get right for your game? You're having to take in all the cues, all the information around the session, around the meetings, just to see what the vibe's like in order to how you pitch those pre-training speeches or in-training key points.
Yeah, I think so. I think for me, it's being a bit more aware of all that stuff, mm-hmm. And kind of working it all out. But I think the most important thing for me in terms of the way I try and lead anyway is trying to get all my bits right. And it's a bit difficult at the moment, not training and trying to driving standards that way. So yeah, I think in these first couple of days, in this camp especially, like looking at it more broadly and kind of using the other leaders who are training to kind of feed messages in through them and ask what they're seeing. I think the guys around me will be, like, massively important for for us going forward in this tour, definitely.
In terms of the squad and you guys as players, what are your kind of goals going into these games ahead?
To win, I think, is the biggest one. Yeah. It's one of those things that I think we've spoken a lot about momentum. The Six Nations 2020 was really good. I think we were the best performing defence in that tournament. We had some really good results, a couple that could have gone either way and didn't go our way. And we kind of backed that up in 2021. I think we had a couple of massive wins, obviously, away, but to kind of bookend the tournament. So for us, we've built up a bit of momentum on both sides of the ball. And I think going into this tour, it's something that we've spoken about continuing with. And trying to build on those bits and seeing this as an opportunity to broaden a bit of depth. As we know, there's some guys missing, some guys away with the Lions, but this is still very much a Scotland tour. These guys have been picked on merit, so it's about them stepping up now and, as I said earlier, putting their best foot forward and putting their hand up for selection in the future.
It's good to hear that as well, because it is very much a Scotland tour that you're trying to continue the momentum that's been built. It's not a standalone tour. It's not, although there's new faces and, you know, a lot of changes, some players missing. Yeah. This is important for Scotland's progression, that it continues the good work that's been done and it adds to that looking ahead. And you mentioned the two victories away from home. You've now got three games effectively away from home in a row. So there's another challenge for the young team right away, is learning from your experiences at Twickenham and Paris and applying them in Leicester and Romania and Georgia.
Yeah, well, I can't remember exactly what the stat was, but Mike told us yesterday that I think it's maybe eight of our last ten home games that we've won. Mm-hmm. Sorry, away games that we've won, which is, in the past, has been a real struggle for us going away from home. Yeah. But it's something that we've now created as a strength. So I think, yeah, as you say, with having three games away from home, it's a chance to build on that and kind of keep making that more of a strength.
Jamie, I know you were involved in the game with Georgia and Tbilisi in 2019. But you know, I was lucky enough to be there, and one of the things I remember is, like, that is their national sport. That is their, you know, that is the game that they all love. Has there been much talk about what to expect from these away fixtures? I know, Mossy, you've been to Romania and played there many years ago as well. But has anyone kind of told you maybe what to expect from these kind of newer countries that maybe some boys haven't been to before?
No, I'm hearing that it's going to be very hot in Georgia, especially. But we've not really touched on the teams too much yet. But knowing, coming from experience, having actually played both teams, we played Romania in a pre-season warm-up game for Edinburgh a few seasons ago. They're very much quite physical teams, set-piece based. So these will be things that will be massive for us coming in the games count. But I think our sole focus at the moment is getting the boys ready for and getting everyone ready for the A game. Mm-hmm.
The three quite unique challenges. I mean, the A game, Scotland A have been pretty successful against England A in the recent past, but this is a really important game, I feel, and I think it's, again, the A team on the road. And then, as you say, Romania and Georgia build their game on physicality, especially up front. The game we played in Romania, I think it was 2005, we spoke about it last time, it was searing heat. I think both those games are in the evening, which may help a little bit. And also, Georgia will be hurting from the game in November or October, November, where, you know, was it 48 points or whatever it was we put on them then? Wow. So there's so many different challenges, starting with the one in Leicester, and that's the one quite rightly you're focusing.
Yeah, definitely. I think for us, we'll be very much focusing on our bits, especially with a lot of the new guys coming in. It's trying to get our kind of structures in place and the way we want to play. Because we don't know what to expect.
That's right. I mean, England have announced a big squad, but that squad, I assume, will have additions and subtractions by the time their Premiership season finishes, their Championship season finishes. So you're right, with you know, new players in the squad, control what you can control, get your game right, hit the ground running. And it's good to know that the squad aren't looking too far ahead. They're dealing with that first challenge in Leicester on the 27th, I think, Jamie.
Yeah.
So I thought you were asking me. I was like, why is he asking me?
I was just wondering. Jamie. I was like...
are you playing, Jamie? McMillan.
Should be. Let's not get into that. But Jamie, I know this is a kind of a shorter week. You know, you guys are you're in 3 days this week, and then you're going to be home for the weekend. So just a chance for you to this weekend, what the plans? Just going to chill with the family before you get back into it again next week?
Yeah, my weekends aren't that exciting anymore. No, I think it's Father's Day on Sunday.
Is it?
So you get looked after.
Yeah,
but, you know, I'll get home for the weekend, which will be nice. I think with everything kind of easing off a wee bit, the camp rules will be a little bit more lax in terms of being able to see family, which I'm looking forward to.
Been a long old season for you also. We can understand why that is. But no, Jamie, listen, we wish you all the best with the upcoming fixtures and the captaincy. We'll all be following it and talking about it at length as it goes on. Best of luck, and maybe we'll get you back on during the tour to speak with you in more depth. But Jamie, thank you so much for your time, and enjoy the weekend when it comes.
Thank you very much. Cheers, guys.
Go well, Jamie.
Cheers. Mossy, Rach, great to hear from Jamie Ritchie, who's captaining Scotland for these upcoming fixtures. He's been involved in the leadership group for a long time. And I'm speaking to two captains here, so that's nothing you don't know about. But he's had those qualities for a long time, hasn't he? And it's great that he's now getting the opportunity to lead from the front.
Yeah, I don't know him, obviously, off the pitch, but in terms of the way he plays and carries himself on the pitch, he's definitely someone that leads by example. He's someone that I've always, like, as a back row in particular, looked up to as a player in terms of, like, his work rate and kind of never give up way of playing, which is definitely what anyone wanting to play for the country should aspire to. So in terms of that aspect of captaincy, which he touched on as something that he kind of is finding tough at the moment because he can't apply that, I can definitely see that shining through even from just watching him play.
Yeah, he's the epitome of a captain. If you're a spectator, a fan, a player, or anybody watching an Edinburgh game or a Scotland game, you say, right, that guy's a captain material, because all the things Rachel says, his application, his commitment, his desire, his high level of skill rate, that never say die attitude, that fighting spirit, is everything that you automatically assume a captain should be. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned leading by example, and he does all those things by example, but he's a real hard, honest individual as well in terms of dealing with, you know, confrontation, or, you know, it's the phrase we always hear of calling somebody out for slacking. I mean, he is the epitome of a leader, and he works at his leadership skills, and he'll continue to do so. And you're right, for somebody at 24, you just automatically assume he's because he's been around a long time, he's older than that. But and because of his behaviour and his persona, you think he's an older man than 24. But he's an impressive character. And I think it's a big challenge to lead this squad because there is so many new faces and changes, but he'll take it in his stride. And as he said, he'll lead by example on the field, which trumps everything in my view.
Well, joining us on the podcast now is the Regional Director for Caledonia Midlands, Steve Turnbull. Steve, thank you very much for jumping on the podcast this week. I know we had a very busy weekend, the club game last week with all the community awards, and we'll come on to that in a bit of a moment. But I know that you and Mossy know each other quite well from your playing days, don't you? So thinking back to the time you guys played at Edinburgh, well, you got your memories of playing with Mossy.
Here we go. You put up with me for a while, Scooter.
Absolutely. I spent most of my career on the sidelines on the physio bed, so probably never actually played that many games with Mossy, but Mossy was definitely the elder as I was the younger coming into my career. But definitely enjoyed playing with Mossy, and it's nice to still see him around as well.
Seems a long time ago though, Scooter, doesn't it?
It does, a long time ago. I actually told somebody the other day it's 8 years since I finished playing. So yeah.
Is it? Yeah. And you retired quite young though.
26. Yeah.
Yeah. 26. And as you say, he'd had one or two bad injuries in that period. Remember a bad ankle injury? Was that leg?
I had a bad ankle injury early on in my career. And then it was the knee that ultimately ended the career. So, one
Eight
of these
years
runs.
Ago. Eight know, years ago. But you're still involved, obviously, Scottish rugby.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's great to be back involved, to be honest, and be working in the community game. Which is where it all started for me, and working in the region for the club that I came from as well, Stirling County. So it's nice to be working in a job that you're so passionate about, I think is quite unique these days. So definitely fortunate.
Yeah, it's great that you managed to remain involved in the game. Steve, you know, I mentioned at the start there, the Community Awards for last week, a very different awards than we'd normally have with the COVID and everything else. So it was all digital last week. But can you just give us kind of an overview around those awards? I know you were heavily involved with not just your own region, but the overall structure of that kind of concept. But can you tell us a bit about the awards that took place last week?
Yes, absolutely. So ordinarily, in a normal season, we would have our Scottish Rugby Awards at the end of the year, where we recognise and celebrate achievements on and off the pitch. Obviously, in this last season, it's presented a really unique challenge, but also an opportunity for our clubs and our communities, where we haven't had any rugby on the pitch. But throughout the last year, there's been so much incredible work and hard work by our volunteers and our clubs, and we really wanted to recognise that, recognise all the impacts that our clubs and our volunteers have been making within their communities. So we repurposed the awards. Obviously, we couldn't have our traditional awards, but we wanted to do something. So we created our community recognition awards, ultimately to recognise all the great work, the achievements that have been made over the last year off the pitch within the communities. So we launched them back early 2021 this year, opened them up for applications across 6 award categories. So we had the Community Champion Award, which was sponsored by SB Energy Networks, and that was about recognising an individual who'd made an exceptional contribution within their community. We had the Diversity and Inclusion Award, which was a Scottish Rugby Award, about recognising, again, it was about an individual or a club or a school who had worked tirelessly really to promote equality and diversity within their community. We also had a Young Persons Award, which is sponsored by Mitsubishi. And again, that was about recognising young people who are aged 16 to 26, who again have worked tirelessly and made an impact over the last year. And then we had, on top of that, we had Charity Fundraiser Award, we had the Inspiration Award, and then Lifetime Achievement Award, which are all sponsored by Tennant. So those 6 categories gave us a really good breadth of opportunity to ultimately recognise individuals, groups, whether that's clubs, schools, or groups within clubs who have made a real impact across the community, spread across the region. So they were all regional awards. So that gave us, there was 32 awards in total that were made a couple of weeks ago through our digital award ceremonies.
Obviously, that's a huge number of awards, and I'm sure lots of really incredible stories within them. Can you highlight a couple of them for us?
Absolutely. I mean, it's really hard to highlight just a couple. I sat in the Cali Midlands judging panel, and we said all the way through it was so hard to pick winners, because ultimately, when you're awarding individuals or clubs for a charity fundraiser, for example, or Community Champion Awards, I mean, there's been so much good work happening. It was really difficult to pick out a couple, but if I can pick out, you know, one or two, just to kind of pick out a couple of themes of what's been happening. Take Lismore Rugby Club, for example, who are local to Edinburgh. They won the Charity Fundraiser Award for the East, and they had a group of individuals within the club who worked hard to raise money. So they raised about £4,500 through different sort of events and activities that they did. And then through that, also donated, I think, 245 kilos of food to South East Edinburgh to support vulnerable people and people in need. So those are the types of things. There's lots of other examples. I take Bannockburn Rugby Club, who won the Charity Fundraiser Award in the Caledonia Midlands. They did a similar activity. They raised funds supported through food donations. And they also set up were part of a call line to support vulnerable people who wanted to reach out to people if they were shielding and just have conversations over the phone. A number of their committee members and volunteers jumped onto those calls. And I think, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but fielded a lot of calls over the last couple of years to people who were in need of reaching out and speaking to people within the community. And I think, for me, those are really nice examples that really kind of highlight the culture of rugby, of clubs really being the heartbeat of their communities and serving a real purpose that goes just beyond playing rugby, and really making an impact and supporting people within their community. So those are, I think, two really nice examples. If I can take another one, just recognising an individual. So in the Community Champion Award, one of our COVID-19 coordinators won that award, Joey Crozier from Stirling County. So Joey, he's a doctor. He works in the ICU at Forth Valley Hospital, which is probably quite a demanding job in terms of time and energy and capacity. But he also served as Stirling County's COVID-19 safety coordinator, which was a new volunteer role created this year. And it's probably quite an unenviable role within clubs, but such a crucial role. So he won the Community Champion Award for the work that he's done at Stirling and ultimately ensured that the club could return to rugby safely across all sections of the club, whilst also doing his pretty taxing day job at the same time. So again, another really good example of some impacts that have been made. But as I say, there's so many, and we could probably talk for an hour and just highlight different examples across the country.
And I mean, there's so many, deserving award winners. There's so many others that would have come short of winning the award. But what effect do you think can all these stories and all these kind of real life actions have on rugby and the rugby community going forward for each area, really? I mean, does it refocus, as you said earlier, how important the rugby club is in the community? And is that something that needs refocusing or needs selling and can be used to springboard or kind of introduce new people to the club in order to just give rugby a boost in all these areas that we know it needs?
I think so. As I said before, I think, clubs are the heartbeat of their communities. And I think what this last year has done is provided an opportunity for volunteers who, in a normal season, seasons are so busy with, if you add in all the playing element of rugby, a volunteer role is really hard within a rugby club in a normal year. And what this year has probably been providing an opportunity is for clubs to potentially look at rebuilding and focusing on other areas.
Yeah.
So, for example, focusing on developing girls' pathway, which one of our, I think, Geary Rugby Club won the Diversity and Inclusion Award for developing the girls' pathway, which is probably a good example of them spending the last year really effectively to develop something which will ultimately have a longer-term impact and benefit within their community in terms of reaching out to girls within their local community. From a wider kind of piece, I think, Mossy, absolutely, I think it's probably just allowed clubs to kind of re-cement themselves, create pretty solid sort of foundations, revisit development plans, ultimately, because as we're moving out of this pandemic and we return to rugby, every club in the country is going to have to go through a rebuild process.
Yep.
And we're hoping that through this last year, and with our support in the development department, we've supported clubs to create those foundations to rebuild and recover from the pandemic, which has obviously been incredibly hard, hitting across the whole country.
And do you sense an excitement for rugby returning? If you've been starved of something for so long, I mean, the club game must be so many players and volunteers and staff just desperate to see the ball get kicked at the club.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. So there's some fixtures going on this month. So our youth fixtures have been able to start from the beginning of this month. So we're seeing a number of school and club fixtures that are happening across the country, which is great to see them back playing. Minis have been back since middle of May. Mm-hmm. And then our adult fixtures, pending current progression and everything being well, we'll be able to start on the 5th of July. So, yeah, like, the excitement's definitely there, and I think everybody's just chomping at the bit to get back into rugby and for the season to then start again in September time.
Steve, I had the privilege of helping produce the awards over the week, and one of the names that kept coming up was James Haney, and I know there was a special award dedicated to him. Can you just give maybe a bit more insight into that award and the individual and why that award was created?
Yeah, absolutely. So this was an award that was unique to the Glasgow South region. It was a special recognition award for James Haney, who tragically passed away in March earlier this year. James was a PE teacher for the Northwest Community Campus down in Dumfriesshire. He also coached at Dumfries RFC. And I think as an individual, made a huge impact in his community in the school, but also within his local area, in his local town, through rugby. And some of the kind of the quotes that we've received that submitted the award in terms of the impact that he's made in young people's lives through sport and used the power and the tool of rugby to improve people's lives. So absolutely incredibly tragic scenario, and the team really wanted to recognise James himself and the impact that he's made within his community, and therefore that's why there was a special recognition award for James that was delivered in the Glasgow South region this year.
And I know Mossy, James Hanning was a close friend of yours, so great to see that award was made in his honour.
Yeah. I studied with James, or Alfie, as he was known to us. He's James Hanning. Jimmy was known to a lot of his friends in Dumfries. We knew him as Alfie because his first name was Alfred. That stuck with us in the first week of university a long, long time ago. But just a wonderful person, and like did so much. He was a football player, really good, talented football player. Didn't really have a huge amount to do with rugby before the kind of taking on the role at school. And it just shows you how committed and driven he was to kids' activity, and just a brilliant person. So he took the ball and run with it in terms of rugby. I've got a few phone calls and a few messages with some technical questions over the years he was involved, but he had a massive influence, as Steve says, on Dumfries and Dumfries Saints. Maxwell Town High School was a school of rugby as well. He championed that programme and on behalf of, you know, the school and Scottish rugby at a number of events and occasions, just as a really good example of what rugby can bring and what he represented. So it's a tragic story, but delighted to see that he was honoured in the world.
Well, Steve Turnbull, the regional director for the Caledonian Midlands, really appreciate you coming on the podcast and talking us through the great work that's been done over the past year, and also the great awards that were produced last week. So, Steve, thank you very much for your time, and hopefully we'll get you back on in a few months' time when we all know the club game will be thriving in this new normal.
Great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Cheers. Good luck.
Well, see, Rach, great to hear from Steve Turnbull there on the community awards that took place last week. Now, I don't want to start rumours, but there is rumour going around my local area that I might be returning to the rugby pitch as well. So,
no.
Yes, that's the chat.
Why are you laughing for, Rachel?
No reason.
That was a brilliant cackle. I thought of Jamie returning.
I'm actually a little bit of in your
What's rugby?
I'm not going to tell you now, are you? Because you'll come down and laugh at me.
No, but, the upset.
There's a suggestion that pre-season training has started at this house. So update to follow.
How's that going?
Not well, but it's getting over the hump, as they say. But I'll get there. But no, I think it's actually legitimately to the point of. Yeah, of Stephen, you made Mossy around. You know, I think people will really want to get back
involved. Get back to rugby.
I haven't played rugby for years, but I have now got a desire to get back involved.
That's a good, like, genuinely joking apart. That's a good story for people who maybe have played rugby, want to get back into rugby, have stopped playing rugby, but also not just playing, just the community aspect, the awards I spoke about, and the volunteers and the time that people put into clubs is incredible. But it just sets a great example for the community, and people want to support that. People are inspired by it. We're talking about leadership with Jamie Ritchie. There's leadership involved in all clubs and all areas of clubs. And I genuinely do. I remember we had a podcast months ago, and I can't remember who we asked, but we asked that question: do you think this kind of starvation of rugby will, in a positive set, with a positive mindset on, actually spark a bit of a revival when we are able to come out of it? And let's hope that's the case. And if it is the case, then keeping players, supporters, volunteers, everybody in your club becomes really important. And let's hope that is the case.
Rach, Mossy, a lot happening in the world, not just Scottish rugby, but rugby in general at the moment. We saw a big announcement yesterday with Pro 14 becoming the United Rugby Championship. Just a quick one for you guys on that. It's a new concept with new teams joining, and just your thoughts on that overall concept and what you think it will bring to the game.
Yeah, I'm really excited by it, by the new format. It's obviously bringing in the four South African teams. There's changes to the structure of the tournament in terms of fewer games during international windows. So it's going to be a hard tournament. And I think merging the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere like this, I think is a really good thing because they're quite different styles of rugby. I think we'll learn, as in Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere will learn, and it'll be really interesting to see what style wins over, what becomes most successful, who the best teams are. I'm genuinely really excited about it. I think it should be inspirational in a lot of the performances we see, and really hard, meaningful fixtures. That it'll be hard. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be a challenge for everybody involved. But in terms of the product, what supporters are going to see, it's top level rugby.
I think as well, like having a new tournament just adds that bit of excitement and energy. You know, you kind of get used to the same structure of your years as a player or as a spectator in terms of when tournaments come round and what they are and whatever else. I just think adding in something brand new, a little bit different, just adds a bit of excitement for both the players and the spectators.
I'm really intrigued. I know I've said it already, but how the games and the shape of the game will change, or if it will change, or if it will progress, or how we'll see it. Because, I mean, we know the physicality that South African sides bring. And there's always a kind of perception of how Southern Hemisphere teams play compared to Northern Hemisphere teams. But we might be wrong. We might see it in a league format over the course of a year, Northern Hemisphere versus Southern Hemisphere teams. We might be wrong in our assumptions of how teams play. And we're going to see big stars, you know, fully fit, fresh, going hard at each other, alongside our internationals as well. So in terms of preparing players for international rugby, I think it'll add to that as well.
Lots happening, as I said. Under-20s will get going very soon. Moss, it is going to be tough for them, isn't it? Because they haven't really had that time together. But what an opportunity for them just to get some rugby under their belts.
Yeah, it is. It kicks off this weekend. Scotland's first game's against Ireland. And I mean, we spoke to Alexander, the captain, a couple of weeks ago. And Ireland are traditionally strong. Certainly 20s rugby, age grade rugby. But we've had, you know, some success as well in that over the last few years. So it's a tough game to start with, but it's one we should look forward to. And then the games are kind of 6 days apart thereafter. So it's kind of 5 weeks, 6 days apart. So just being exposed to under-20s international rugby is a big ask, but then doing it, you know, on consecutive weeks, 6 days apart, it's going to spring up all sorts of challenges that the players and staff have to head, you know, deal with face on. And as always, you find that even across an under 26 nations, the time they spend together automatically creates a better and better product and more understanding. They haven't had any time together really at all, but they're going to be intensely together for this period. So I expect to see, not all teams, you know, a big improvement from game one to the final game. And let's hope we're on the winning side of as many games as possible.
I think, like, as well, like, even though I'm probably harping on about the same things here, but like, although it's a tough challenge in terms of having the games in quick succession over a long period, I actually think it's super exciting to get the opportunity to play in that style of tournament at that age, you know, to go away and experience a tournament which replicates kind of, you know, that World Cup feel and things like that is such important experience for young players coming through, because they often say when you go to a major championships, you know, as a full international, it's not until your second one that you really perform your best, because that whole tournament environment where you bring lots of teams together for that kind of intense period can be a bit overwhelming and it affects your performance. So I think, you know, them getting this type of experience so early is also super important and super exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, they kind of prepared for it. The fixtures they did play was they played England back to back, 6 days apart, for that reason, to try and follow the process, as you do, Rachel, like playing the game, then the recovery, then the review, and then making the line in the sand, you know, 1 day, 2 days post fixture, that you start to look ahead. And you have to get rid of the bad points, or act on the bad points or the good points. So that process of review and evaluate and moving on, it's all invaluable learning for the young players. The squads are bigger. I think there's the match day squads are bigger to allow for a bit of player welfare and to allow, I think it's at 20, I need to double check, 26, 27 squads, so they can make more substitutions, which is clever as well. But it is that process of preparing for a game, delivering the game, reviewing it, you know, dealing with it, moving on, consecutive weeks. And it is, it's exactly that, a great kind of preparatory event for things that hopefully come ahead for in the years ahead for most of them. But that's not how they view it. They view it, they're in the moment, they're there to succeed, yeah. They're there to do well and hopefully, as I said, pick up the victories.
And last to talk about is the return of Fosrock Super 6, which after a hiatus of around 15 months is finally going to return this summer. Great that we can finally get that announced today with the fixtures and the schedule for those games. A more condensed schedule, but mostly, Rach, it's been a great initiative. It didn't really get the full season that we wanted or it deserved, but great that we're going to get something again this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, there was so much build up to it, and for, you know, COVID obviously had a big impact on lots of rugby, but I think, you know, that was such a shame that it did influence it so much. And I really hope that, you know, it has the same kind of buzz about it this time around. And I think for those players that have missed out on playing for such a long time, it's going to be massive. But on that kind of same level that we talked about before, it's going to be massive for that inspirational piece and kind of influencing people to go back to rugby and stuff like that. So yeah, it's so important for the game and it's brilliant to see it back.
Yeah, I mean, it is so important to the game. I mean, just looking through some of the players who would have played in it 15 months ago or prior to that in its first spell, I think there was over 30 players who played in the Fosrock Super 6 have been involved in Edinburgh and Glasgow's professional ranks this year. A lot of them, like Ross Thompson, for example, a player we've spoken about a lot, winning accolades and player of the years as well. So it's been a success from that point of view. But then, obviously, the period without rugby is difficult to deal with. But the thing for me is, I think it runs from the end of July through to the middle of October, another condensed period of, you know, hopefully high-level rugby that can prepare those who want to propel forward. And it can, just deliver on all fronts in terms of players, officials, coaches, medical staff, everything are really important.
That's all from us this week on the Official Scottish Rugby Podcast. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. If you enjoyed it, give us a review and a like on whatever platform you're listening to. But as always, we'll be back next week with more exclusive content.